up after that. He is going to the dentist tomorrow, and then he's going to Hawaii the next day. And we'll all pray for the dentist visit. After that, the prayer ceases. Pray without ceasing unless somebody goes to Hawaii or California, wherever they're going. But praise the Lord. Josh and Kaylee got safely to California, and we're excited about that. They actually went to Hawaii, but I wasn't supposed to tell anybody that. So that's what happened. Don't tell preachers things. I just let you know, don't tell them, because we forget. And we just assume everyone knows. If we found out, we assume everyone else knows. But praise the Lord for that. But take your Bibles, please. Turn to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2. Last week we went in depth about ladies standing up for righteousness. And in this day and age, I'm going to be honest with you, we are lacking ladies. We have, if you watch the current shows and the current trends of the day, ladies and ladies and ladies are constantly wanting to take the place of men and constantly wanting to be seen as men or in the role of men. And to be real honest with you, it's not the fault of ladies as much as it is the fault of men. We have not done our job as men. We have not taken the responsibility. And I don't know a lady alive that wouldn't want to have a man in their life that takes the role of a man seriously. I understand there's ladies that, you know, are a little bit more forceful than others. But understand this, I believe every lady in the whole wide world wants a man that'll be a man. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we're running out of those. We're running out of men, and because we're running out of men, the ladies are taking the places of men in certain things. You say, well, you're a male chauvinist. Well, if that's what you want me to be, I'll say oink oink to it, but understand this. I am not somebody that wants the lady not to succeed. I want somebody, I'm somebody that wants the lady to succeed in God's plan. And it's not my plan, it's God's plan. It's the way the Bible's written, and in the Bible is we're supposed to treat you as our queens. The problem is we're not doing that. The problem is the men don't see it that way, and so the ladies are taking matters into their own hands, which is not what God ever intended. We talked about that last week. I won't go into that again because people walked out on me. But praise the Lord. Here we are in Esther chapter 2. Vashti is no longer queen. She stood up for righteousness, and she's no longer queen. She suffered for it. And I don't care how bad it gets. If you have a chance to stand up for righteousness, you ought to do just that. You ought to take the opportunity to stand for righteousness, because most people in this day and age aren't standing for anything, let alone good, bad, or whatever. They're not standing for anything anymore. And to be real honest with you, I want to be someone that stands in the place when righteousness is called upon. I want to be a fellow that stands in that place. I want to be that man that stands in the place of righteousness. And understand this, I want you to grab a hold of something. It's not easy to do that. You can talk about it, you can say those things, but when you're facing people that do not want to stand for righteousness, it's not the easiest thing in the world to say, no, that's not right, that's not right. It's not easy to say the things that you've been brought up with. It's not easy to speak the truth. It's not easy to stand in the place of righteousness, because there's going to be many people that are against you when you go to stand for righteousness. And it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. And as you saw Vashti, she had an opportunity to stand for righteousness. She did, and she lost her title as queen. That was a big deal. And we see that this person standing for righteousness, praise the Lord, did that. And because she was stripped from her title, she paid the price, but she still stood for righteousness. If you look at this chapter 2 then, we see that Vashti is now out, which was decreed against her. Then verse 2 says, then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, under the custody of the house, under the custody of Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. We talked a little bit last week also about, it's amazing how Ahasuerus, this great and mighty king who had this vast domain, his head was turned in so many different directions by the people around him. He really didn't make a lot of decisions on his own. These people told him what they thought was good. He agreed with them and did it. I call that a chameleon. One of the worst things you can be in your life is a chameleon. I know many of them. If you get a guy in a room that's full of King James guys, he's a King James guy. But if you get him in a room full of people that are wishy-washy, he'll be wishy-washy right with them. This is a guy that doesn't really have any conviction of his own. He relies on the people all around him to make his choices for him. And I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous life to lead. You can't rely on the faith of Mike Sells. You can't rely on the faith of Mark Sigstad. You can't rely on the faith of Pastor Skyver. You've got to rely on a faith that you've come to through the Bible and Jesus Christ and prayer in your life. You better realize that the faith that you have better be a faith that's right down inside of your heart. Because the times are going to come when that faith is tested. The times are going to come when the questions come in your life on what are you going to do? You better have those decisions made. When it comes down, what are you going to do with your life? And the Lord tells you one thing, and you decide to do another. Colton, I'm telling you, if the Lord told you to preach, son, you've got to preach. That's what God told you to do. The decision is going to be made. I wonder if I should go to Oklahoma instead. Make the decision in your life. No, son, I'm going to be a preacher. So you got to understand, in your life, you are going to come against things like homosexuality. Nobody wants to talk about that anymore. Good night. The country's overrun with them. Do you realize there's only about 2% of this nation that is in that crowd? And yet here we are cowering in fear. Cowering in fear to stand up for that which is right. Do you realize that homosexuality is wrong? A sin against God that he calls an abomination in his Bible. And if we're going to walk around and not, in whatever room we're in, that's who we are, that's a problem with Christianity. I believe this king was one of those. I believe this king, whichever room he was in, that's who he was. I feel bad about that because that's no way to live. Verse 5, now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, the king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. He brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeper of the women. And by the way, when you're reading the Bible, ladies, it's a different culture over there. It's a different culture to where there's a house for women where the ladies go, and that's where you're supposed to be. Let me help you a little bit. I'm going to show you a couple things in here that Esther does that I would to God that all ladies would hear today. Just because of the simple, and men too, by the way. We have become a pathetic society of men. We really have. And if you can see these few things that Esther withstood. And by the way, ladies, can you just for a moment throw away the world and think about what God would have you to do? No, I'm serious. Men, can you throw away the world just for a little bit and figure out what God has for you to do? Because I'm going to be honest, I don't see a society anymore that's that concerned with what God wants them to do. Can I ask you what's more important than what God wants you to do? What is more important? Should I build a big school or do what God wants me to do? See, if it came down to that choice, I've got to do what God wants me to do. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, I gave you an example. How wonderful is the school? I mean, please, I know how wonderful the school is, but if it comes down to the school or doing what God wants me to do, I think I ought to do what God wants me to do. And I gave you a good example. I didn't give you an example of going to a baseball game instead of coming to church. I didn't give you that example. Which many of us would wrestle very much harder over good box seats at the Indians game than coming to church. But I want you to see this about Esther. Now, if you look at these verses, I'm not going to read them all over again, but I want you to notice one thing. Esther, this is not necessarily what Esther wanted for her life. What Esther wanted for her life. Do you know how I know that? Because she was taken into captivity. She was put in a place that she didn't necessarily like. She was put in a place that didn't necessarily fit her future thoughts. Do you know what's amazing to us? We have our idea of what we want our future to be. Amen. Wouldn't you agree that you have in your mind what you want your future to be? You want to be successful. You want to have money. You want to be have a comfortable living. And so often we see so many times in this society that those things far outweigh the simple fact of what God wants us to do. I would do those things. I would become a preacher. I would start a church. You know how few churches are being started today? Listen, I've begged God. You can say what you want to say. It's nice for me to be here. I've begged God, God, if there's something else that you want me to do, I want to do it. Whatever it is, God. See, preachers are peculiar people. I'm sure you know that. You've got real peculiar ones in this building. But I've begged God, God, if there's something you want me to do, God, I want to do it. No matter what it is, I want to do it. I don't want to be out of God's will. No matter where, what direction that would take. I've told God, God, if you want me to start a church, I'll do it. And let me tell you, this is a man that started a church sitting right in his front row. I bet you he would tell you it wasn't easy. But it doesn't matter because that's what God wanted him to do. Amen? So here we are faced with, well, do I have worldly wealth? Do I have all the comforts that I should have? Or do I miss my gas bill once in a while yet do what God wants? See, we cannot measure things on how much money you have. Just because you're wealthy doesn't mean you're a Christian. Just because you're wealthy doesn't mean you're close to God. That is the preaching of today. The prosperity preaching that if you aren't dressed in a nice suit and have nice things, well, then God's not blessing you. You should put more money in my Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets as I pass them around. Because certainly, if you do that, God will open up the windows of heaven and rain down blessings. That's not what the Bible says. We ought to do what God wants us to do. He'll open up the windows of blessings, but it may not be a Brinks truck. The reason that our churches are failing, the reason that our Christians are failing is because the men that God calls are no longer answering the phone. And I'm going to tell you right now, the people that are answering the phone aren't being called. Just as much, I worry about our society today. I worry. I worry because men that are called are ignoring that call. I worry because men that aren't called are going forward and not doing what God wants them to do because God never called them. One of the greatest tragedies in our recent past was when Dr. Rice said, oh, I was never called. I just told God I'll keep preaching. And if he stopped me, then I knew I wasn't called. That's hogwash. That's a big name. Should you be talking about that man that way? I'm talking about the calling of God. By the way, you let men mean too much to you. You let men mean too much. Let me help you a little bit. You let men mean too much to you. If he come and told me he wasn't a called man of God, that would not affect my calling. That's not a... If he came and told me he no longer believed the King James Bible was a pure word of God, I'd slap him. But it wouldn't stop me from believing that the Bible's a pure word of God. It wouldn't stop me because I would want to stand for righteousness. And as we talk and see these things, Esther wasn't in a position that she wanted to be. Don't you think that Esther would have rather been with her family? Don't you think that Esther would have rather been at her home grounds, in her own country, instead of jerked out and put in this house of women to be gawked at and looked at? Because of her beauty, that's why she was accepted. I'm going to tell you right now, Esther was not where she wanted to be, but Esther made no excuse. Do you know that a Christian life is not necessarily what you're going to want to be all the time? Did you know that? Getting saved is the greatest thing in the whole wide world, but it's amazing how dim that light gets in the first few weeks. Because you're relying on the current emotion of your salvation. Oh, God, thank you so much. Glory to God. And then as soon as something bad happens, well, why did I ever get saved? Being a Christian is not great all the time. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It's amazing because even through the valleys, God walks with you. Even through the hard times, God walks with you. He never said that they would be. Matter of fact, he told you you'd suffer a while. He told you to go through bad times. Here's Esther going through some bad times. Can I add another stick to the kindling pile? She didn't have her mom and daddy. You know, some of us lose our parents in untimely deaths. You know, some of us lose loved ones we can't understand. You know how many people I've seen shake their fist at God because their family members are gone, shake their fist at God because they're in an untimely... Listen, I've got a funeral to do tomorrow of a 48-year-old man. And I'm certain that his family was not ready for that. I'm certain that Esther was not ready to lose her mom and dad. But she didn't make excuse. I never said it was easy. I never said it was great. I never said it was something that she praised God for. But she didn't make excuse. And she served God anyhow. You've got to come to this thought in your mind, what thing would it take to get you to stop serving God? It's not what it would take to get you to serve God. I think he deserves that. I mean, don't you think that God has done enough for you to merit serving him a while? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your... It's reasonable for you to serve God. But what would it take to get you to stop serving him? I would never want bad things to happen to anybody, but they do happen. You know how many stories I've heard, preacher after preacher after preacher? They lost a child. And this is what they did. This is what I admire so much. Not the fact that they lost their child and have a smile on their face from time. The fact they lost a child and said, now I realized that God was trying to get a hold of me. Oh, it's horrible to lose your babies. Please don't miss. I'm not trying to make light of that. But not only did they not make excuse, they went forward for the Lord. God, you took my child, then I'm going to take myself from you and I'm not going to serve you, which is something that you can understand a person to say. You can understand it, but that's not what ought to happen. Esther lost her mom and daddy. She's in captivity, yet she still does not make excuse. What a dynamic woman. She's now serving as a maid. As a maid. That's not what she wanted to do. She didn't want to be that. I'm sure she had better aspirations in mind of things that she could do. But that's not what God had. I have kids come to me all the time. I don't know what God's will is for my life. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. You keep serving God, praying and reading His Bible, He'll show you. And this is what I can't say this enough. Many times, and I'll just use preachers as an example. Many times people see this morning, the Sunday morning. Well, pastoring seems to be easy. Do you realize this is the vacation part of pastoring? This is the joy. This is the woohoo. This is the I've got a captive audience moments. It's the rest of the week. It's the rest of the week that is very difficult to deal with. Do you think it's fun to get a call from a teenager that's in trouble? It's fun to preach to them. Amen. Let them have it. The problem is you let them have it, and the next week they seem to break exactly what you was preaching about. And it's no different with pastors. And we look at this and say, well, this is obviously what God wants me to do. No, let me tell you something. Let God tell you what you ought to do. Don't go on an Easter egg hunt. Well, God, hey, I found this is what God wants me to do. No, you wait and let God tell you what you ought to do. There was no doubt in my mind sitting in this front row right here that I went forward and got called. I knew I was called. I knew. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you have a doubt, then you haven't been called. Let me help you. If you have a doubt, then you haven't been called. And let me tell you, it doesn't work just for preachers. I believe that every person has a will of God that they are called to. Don't settle for less than that will for your life. God had the will of you being His wife. You didn't want that. I'll tell you that right now. And looking back, good night. But she did it. And God has blessed her. See, we don't necessarily get what we want. But let me help you. If you can get over what you want and do what He wants, eventually He'll change your wants into His wants. And that's the truth. But you got to get you out of the way. You've got to be willing to come to this altar and say, God, whatever you want for me. Without that thought in the back of your mind, as long as it's in Hawaii. Whatever you want from me, God, as long as it's being a pastor. Don't ever pray for that. Whew. Whatever you want from me, God, but I'm not going to clean this floor. Whatever you want from me, God, but I'm not going to plunge a toilet. Whatever you want from me, God, but I'm not going to show up on Saturday for visitation. As a spear strikes the heart of many. Whatever you want from me, God, but I'm not going to put it in this plate. I can't pay the bills if I put the money in the church. You can't pay the bills because you're not putting money in for the church. Here's Esther being put in a spot that she didn't want to be in, yet she still stood for righteousness. She still stands in the midst of this heartache. And by the way, we'll get to what God does, but God does a miracle through this woman. A miracle for His people through a woman that was a servant, a maid, a person doing something, lost her mom and daddy. But the Lord had a plan. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 13. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, who whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubine. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Every woman, every maid, went and presented herself before the king. She took with her the things that she wanted out of that chamberlain's house and presented herself before the king. Then she went to the second house and didn't come out again unless the king called for her. Now when the turn of Esther, verse 15, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing. I want you to see that now. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. She's not even in the king's house yet, but she decided, listen to me, I don't care what you give me. I don't want anything. How many people do you know of, Brother Mark, that have made that statement before they go into service of the Lord? I don't need anything. Do you see the attitude of this woman? Well, I would let my kids go into God's service, but they're going to be poor, so I decide not. They will be, by the way, more than likely, poor. When does money, how is it that that has become the end-all be-all? I know you need it. I understand that. But when has money become the decision-maker for our life? If I'm not making money, I can't do anything for the Lord. I understand you need money. Please don't misread me. She took the things that were given her. She just didn't ask for more. See, we as Christians have a life. Well, I'll serve God, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to pay a lot. I'm going to serve God, but I'm going to tell you, I better be well compensated. I'm going to serve God, but I'm going to tell you, if it costs me too much, I'll just let you know, I'm going to bail out. then you're not serving God. You can't serve both. A biblical principle, you can't serve both. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You can't do it. You can't do it. Because God will, he will be hated and you'll love the money. And you'll go for the money. Nothing wrong with money. And there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. If God profits you that way to be wealthy, glory to God. But understand this. When has money become the issue? Esther says, listen, I'm going to present myself before the king. I don't care what you give me. I'm going as who I am. It wasn't her stuff. She wasn't trying to show off. She says, I'm going to go as I am. I require nothing. And she found favor of everybody that was in that room. Because she was the only one, I promise you. She was the only one. Brother Mark was telling me, and I love Brother Mark no matter what. I know we kid a lot, but I love him no matter what. But you know what he came? By the way, this isn't the first time this has happened. His attitude is what makes him my favorite missionary. And that's the truth. I've never said anybody else is my favorite missionary. He just happens to be sitting here today. He comes to me before church. By the way, do you realize the missionaries, they go from church to church to church, generally living on love offerings, generally. Here comes Brother Mark. Steps up on, he says, he doesn't want anybody to know this, but I don't care. He has the microphone later. He comes to me, he says, how's your school doing? He said, good. He says, how much to send somebody through school for a year? And they told him. He says, I'm going to support one student next year. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. He's not wealthy. He's not. Ask Linda. He's not wealthy. But he knows because he's tried it. This isn't, you just don't do this. You, by the way, giving by faith is not something you just do. You don't just go ahead and pow, I've got to this point in my life where I'm just going to start giving $2,000. Amen. How many have $2,000? And if you do, I'd like to meet you right after church. He says, I want to support somebody. You know what he did? He put his faith into action. That's all. God will take care of him. It may not be giving him $2,000. It may be giving him $102,000. I don't know what God has in store. But I do know this. God told him to, so he did. Well, that's prosperity preaching. No, he's poorer now. And I'm not saying God's going to fulfill his coffers again. But what I am saying is I know that God will take care of him. I don't know one missionary that God hasn't taken care of better than Brother Mark Sigstad. Not one. You should hear some of the stuff he tells. See, in your life, you're going to come across things like this where you may not be where you want to be. And you may have had people, by the way, where you want to be. And you may have things in your life that have been tragedies. To her, it was her parents and being taken into captivity. You know how mortifying that would be to lose your mom and daddy and be taken into captivity? I don't know how they died. They could have died when the country was taken captive. They could have died in the war. They could have been killed right in front of her. I don't know what the thing was, but I do know this, that when it came down to it, Esther says, I'll let God take care of me. Why would I shake the fist at the very person or the very being that's going to take care of all of the things that I have to be taken care of? It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to live this life. You will face things of this nature. But if you don't have that relationship with Christ, you're going to struggle your whole life in depression and anger and having things, well, I don't deserve this. How many Christians do you know that live their life, I don't deserve what God has done to me? God hasn't done anything to you. This is a life that we live here. It's not easy. It's a sin-cursed world. And because of that sin, we go through things. And by the way, a lot of times we bring this reproach on ourselves. We blame God, yet it was us that brought our reproach on ourselves. I'm going to tell you, God is good all the time. I don't understand everything that he does. I don't understand why my dad got sick. I don't understand why Brother Sells got sick. I don't understand why Miss Debbie Sabo's going through what she's going through. I don't understand why your mama's going through. But God does. And they're not making excuses. They're serving God anyhow. I would to God we would serve God anyhow. Do you know how much we need to serve God anyhow? We're losing. We're losing today. Independent fundamental Baptist churches have got their eyes so peeled on men that they've lost the focus on God. And because of that, we're failing. She didn't take anything but what was given her. Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. You know what's amazing? You say, well, God rewarded her. Can I help you? She's still not where she wants to be. She's in the midst of God's will, but if you rewind her life, queen of a nation that's not Israel, queen of a nation that's a foreign country to her, that's not what she wanted for her life. And yet, she stood. If you look at these verses, the king loved Esther. God took care of her. God had a purpose for her. Do you know, Miss Myrtle, she didn't know what that purpose was, yet she still served God. Do you realize that when I was just a kid coming here, I didn't know what my purpose was, but I really wanted to serve God. I really wanted to do what He wanted me to do. I really did. I still do to this day. I don't care what it is. I want to serve God. I want God to have my life. I don't always live up to that, but I want God to have my life. Listen, I don't have a whole lot to say for this world. This world is going crazy. The only thing that's going to last forever is the Lord. And as I look at this world and the insanity, where the Bible talks about truth becoming lies and lies becoming truth, we're living those days. Where the things that are supposed to be bad are now good, held up as heroes. Now the things that used to be heroes, now you're bad. But God has not changed, and I want to serve that God. And Esther's living this life showing us as a lady. She wasn't a man. She was a lady being used by God. Boy, what an important purpose Esther had. Boy, what an important purpose. Let me tell you something. Even if you just raise your young people, come on now. Ladies, if you just raise your young people in nurture and admonition of the Lord, you've done a great and wondrous work for God. Because all the kids that are out there today, the things that I'm hearing, the things that I'm seeing kids doing, it's staggering my mind. The ability for children today to just go out and do whatever they want to at young teenage years. Hey, listen, I've been here for 20 years. I want to tell you something. 20 years ago, these teenagers were not faced 20 years ago with what they're faced today. Just 20 years ago. 20 years ago, we didn't have a problem with the internet like we do today. 20 years ago, do you realize now kids carry that information death way with them in their hands everywhere they go? Do you know how hard it is today to find somebody that wants to serve God? You won't find God on the internet. Oh, yes, I will. There's sites. It's amazing to me. We talked about having tent revival. Boy, I want to have a tent revival real bad. And if we have a tent revival, I think if we have a 1 or 2 or 3 day revival, it would be a tragedy. I think that's horrible to tell God that you're only going to get 3 days of my life. I think that is rotten. If that's what you want to say to God, then go, play, just come for the 3 days. But if we don't have at least a week-long revival, that's pathetic. Say what you want. I know I haven't even talked to a preacher about this at all. But if we don't have a week-long revival, we're telling God you're not worth it. In my opinion, we ought to be willing to give God a week of our life and then a couple of weeks prior. I would love to have people unplug from the world for 3 weeks of their life. Unplug from the internet. Unplug from the internet, and just pray and ask God, God, do something. God, do something. Esther wasn't concerned about how she looked or how she appeared with somebody else's stuff. Esther walked into the room. This is who I am. We get so wrapped up in what this world has for us. How in the world can we ever find out what God wants? Michael, that's what the world is doing. That's the devil's greatest victory apart from the Bible. The greatest victory that the devil has in your life is keeping you preoccupied with everything else but what God wants. I've made this statement a million times. I'll make it a million times more. The devil has no plan for your life, not one. God has a wondrous plan for your life. And it may be through hard times, just like Esther faced. It may be through things that you don't want to go through. It may be through things of that nature. But God still wants you to serve Him. The devil has no plan. The only thing the devil wants is you to not do what God wants you to do. Because if he can get that victory, what a victory it is. Do you know why it's so difficult with our young people today? Because our young people have everything else to watch in the whole wide world and not the Lord. And girls, if you want to do something great for God, because do you realize, let me help you out a little bit. I don't know you girls. I really don't. I mean, I've seen you a lot, but I don't know you. Do you realize that the Lord has a plan for your life? Every one of you. You say, no way, you don't know where I come from. You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But the Lord does. And He has a plan for every single one of your lives. It may be through things that you didn't want to go through. But do you realize that if you serve the Lord, if you decide in your life, it's going to have to be a decision you make. It's not easy. A decision, I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm going to serve God no matter what comes. I'm not worried about what the world has for me. I want to serve God. I'm not worried about Miley Cyrus or how naked she can get in the next 2 months. I'm not worried about all these other things. I don't even know some of the kids that are on the things today. But I'm going to tell you, don't worry about them. Worry about what God wants for your life. Because I'm going to tell you, you'll never regret it. I've never one time met one person that served God, said, I regret serving God. But I've met hundreds that have said, man, I wish I would have served God sooner. Esther didn't know why she was there. Esther didn't know what God had. But as we go through this book of Esther, you'll see that it's a good thing she stood. Jordan, I don't know what God has for your life, son. I don't know. But it's no accident that you're here. God has something for you, son, but you've got to make a decision to go and get it. I can't get it for you. My faith doesn't work for you. My faith, what I have faith in God that He's got something for your life, son. But it's not my faith that's going to help your life. It's your faith that's going to help your life, knowing that God has something for you. And by the way, you do what God wants you to do, it'll be a big deal. Bigger than anything else you could ever do for the world. Let me ask you this. Brother Mark, let's say Esther gets everything that she wanted. Let's say she goes back home, mom and daddy are alive again. Let's say he becomes the wealthiest dad in the whole wide world. Let's say she lives her life out in her household, finds a wonderful man, lives her life back in her country, and everything's just fine. Do you know if she got what she wanted? Because isn't that what everybody wants? If she'd have got what she wanted, Israel would have never been saved. She would have never had that opportunity to stand in the place of that wondrous deliverance. And I guarantee you, at the end of her life, because here I am, 20 years in, I can ask you, anybody that served the Lord, I can ask you this. Where I am now, I had no idea I'd be here. No idea. But there's no place in the world I'd rather be. I could have had a lot of money. I believe that. I believe I could have taken the business I was running and made it into a big deal and had a lot of money. But this is where I want to be. I want to serve the Lord. And I look back, and if I had the choice, if she would have looked back and Esther would have had the choice, Esther would have chosen the road that she walked. The Lord walking right with her. I would choose, again, the road that I walked. The Lord walking with me. I would choose that road only because, and all the things that you went through, brother, the malaria 800 million times, the life that you had to lead over in Africa. Have you ever been to Africa? Some of the things, the way that they fed the people in jail and all those things, would you go back? Would you do anything different? See, it's amazing to me is that the luster of the service of God is gone in the glowing of the world. But I'm going to be honest with you, the glow of the world can't touch the light of the Lord. And if I had to do it all over again, if Esther had to do it all over again, she would have done it the very same way. You've got to make a decision. And most of these people in here are adults. But you know what? It's not lost on you. It's not lost on you. You say, I'm a senior. My life is almost gone. No, no. You can still make decisions to serve the Lord now. It may not be the road that the world wants you to walk. It may not even be the road you want to walk. But I promise you, if you do that road, if you walk that road, you won't regret that you did. But later on in your life, if you don't walk this road, you will regret it. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, please. As we study this second chapter in the book of Esther, we see Esther didn't make excuses. She just served you. She didn't want what the world had to offer, Lord. She just wanted what you had to offer. And Lord, a great deliverance was had because of her faithfulness. Lord God, please help us, help to give us ladies today that have a desire in their heart to serve you in all circumstances, no matter what they are, to serve you. Lord, help us to raise men in this world today. Raise men right in this room that would serve you without a shame and without a question. Lord God, help. Help us to do this because we're not going to do it on our own. Lord, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, and you know that right well. But Lord, also in us dwells you. And Lord, we need you. Oh God, we need you. I believe that this world can still be turned around. I believe it. I believe this nation can still be saved. I believe it. But Lord God, it's going to take searching you out. Doing what you'd have us to do, no matter what the circumstances. Lord, help us to do just that. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll break for about 5 minutes and come back and hear Brother Sigstad.